Well, hey there, and welcome back to Fire and Soul, the space to deepen your divine alignment and further activate your unique inner awakening. I'm your host, Michelle Sorrow, and I'm so thrilled that you are here today and tuning in for this conversation with my special guest, Elaine Glass, who is an overall gem to humanity, and her book, Get Quiet, is such a gift for our souls. So I'm going to get there in a moment, but before I give you a little more insight on Elaine, I want to let you know that the doors to the Podcast Accelerator are open. You can launch your podcast like a pro. This is an experience with a small group where you will create, launch, and promote your dream podcast with the white glove support of one of America's top production companies and a master coach by your side. That's me. And then my co-founder, Miss Ginny Saraswati. And inside this experience, it's completely unique. It's the only done for you program of its kind. We literally produce and launch your first episode for you. And we'll not only show you how to create and launch your pod, but we'll also share untold practices to promote it like a pro, so you can attract ideal listeners and your dream guest to your show. Now, this kicks off May 1st. The doors are open until April 25th. And if you want to check it out and see if it calls, it's such an awesome experience. We only open it once a year. You can head on over to thepodcastaccelerator.com/PA, as in Podcast Accelerator. And of course, that will also be linked in the show notes. Man, it would be so cool to serve you inside that experience. Now we pivot into Elaine Glass. You know, this conversation is really about reconnecting with our soul and in a deeper way. So it's right up our alleys, loves. And really what I love about the through line in this heartfelt conversation that just felt very kismet from the moment that we connected, it's how to live in a loving state instead of fear in today's world of reckoning. Now, for over 15 years, Elaine Glass has transformed lives with her healing presence and countless coaching of people to unlock their truest selves, finding purpose, peace, and self-empowerment. At one point, she found herself at a personal crossroads, a newly single mother, burnt out, fearful, and alone. She lived the next decade in search of her own healing and inner truth. She now travels the world sharing her holistic healing techniques, energy medicine methodologies, and spiritual guidance. Her mission today is to guide people in connecting with their soul's calling to bring lasting love, joy, and vitality. Elaine has shared her message on prestigious stages and well-viewed podcasts. She resides in Paradise Valley, Arizona, across the street from her beloved labyrinth, where she welcomes people from around the world to her peaceful retreats. One of my favorite things that I've ever heard Elaine say, she says, "Quiet moments will lead to positive life transformation. It allows you to tune in and connect with your inner truth." This conversation is a meandering of a bit of her backstory, discovering her labyrinth, going through that season of newly single mother, the courage that it took for her to embark on that path, finding great love, which is how I connected with Elaine through her wonderful fiance, Michael Fishman. Hi, Michael, if you're listening. And then the journey of bringing this book to life. And then, of course, residing within the teachings and some of the excerpts of this book that are truly like soul balm, like nourishment for us, y'all. You're going to love this so much. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with Elaine Glass. Welcome to Fire and Soul, Elaine. It's such a pleasure to finally meet you. It feels like I've already known you. We're going to get into that, but I feel super honored that you are here. Welcome back. Welcome to the show. I feel like saying welcome back to the show. That's funny.
Hey, when you have a soul connection, that's what happens. You feel like you're coming back home to people that you've known before. So I feel the same way.
That really touches my heart, and it feels very true. This is home in so many ways, and I want to share a little bit of perspective of how I learned about you originally. For my viewers and listeners who may not be as familiar with your beautiful medicine and magic that you serve, it was 2019 and I was the MC for Dave Asprey's Upgrade Labs. Remember that way back when? And your fiance, Michael Fishman, was in the audience and I was nervous. And it was all the big wigs, Dr. Mercola, like, you know, it was the biohacking event of the year in Beverly Hills. And I was so excited to MC and nervous. And your fiance was so calming for me and assuring for me and very validating. And so in my brief conversations with him, whom, by the way, everyone in the backstage that knew him from ongoing productions and events with Dave and all of the people that they have in common would say, Michael's the king. He's the real king. And you know how you know? And I was like, huh? And they're like, because he's in the back, not asking for any attention and quiet, but observing everything. And I was like, that is how I experienced him. Anyway, he was so honoring of you and his love for you and his connection for you. And he said to me at that time, the two of you have to meet. So here we are. It only took 5 years and a book and a lot of life changes. But I want to say thank you to Michael for making this happen because I was so thrilled and touched when he reached out and said, let's now have you guys connect. And it was a resounding yes, absolutely, please. I want to chat all these things that we get to explore today. So I wanted to offer that perspective because I'm not even sure I've ever shared that with you.
No, you haven't. This is all news. And thank you for those very kind words about Michael. I really did find my king. That is for sure. After a lot of frogs being kissed, I did find my king.
What an honor. Wow. To hear that story too. I'm getting the full body divine tingles. I'm not exactly sure what that means yet, but it's always communication with me and my divine team. So this feels really faded and I'm just letting you know my spirit is super happy to connect. But because I don't know a lot about you at all, and of course, we're going to talk about your incredible new book that will be available for order for whomever feels called, and we'll leave all that information at the end of this episode. I'd love to know about some of those bigger transitions that you allude to in your life of leaving a big cush job that you know, seemingly had it all figured out on paper and a relationship and finding Michael, like anything that you want to share that feels relevant and juicy and alive in this moment, I'm all ears, all heart.
Well, I did feel like I had the perfect life. I mean, anyone looking in would be like, oh my gosh, Elaine Glass is the perfect life. I'm in a big house. I'm married to the doctor. I have two gorgeous children and I have a career that I love. I was a dental hygienist for over 20 years. And so I was in healthcare, which really suited my nature. Mm. And I felt very aligned with being in healthcare and nurturing people and sitting with people and listening to people and holding that space and being a healer. I've always known that my presence has always been very healing for people. Mm. And yet at the same time, when I really looked at my life closely, I was lying to myself. I had a mask on and I didn't even know the extent at which this mask was on. Mm. I was being really not treated well in my marriage. I felt alone. I felt stuck. Mm. I felt like I was being dishonored in so many ways. And here I was, though. I was in my 30s with two small children. What was I supposed to do? I had stepped away and was able to step away from my career to be a stay-at-home mom. And then one day, I just said, my soul is dying. Mm. It is literally dying a slow death if I stay here any longer. I cannot live the rest of my life like this. Mm. My kids deserve a healthy mom. And that was my inspiration. And that was my motivation to leave that marriage and to leave the big home and to leave the financial comforts and embrace uncertainty, because really that's what I did. So I moved my kids and I into a very small home, two bedrooms, and we loved it there. Mm-hmm. We loved it there. We healed there. Mm. I made it my own. They felt safe there. Mm. We had our cats and we had our plants and we had a park nearby and we had a pool we could play in. Mm. And it felt safe. And I said, this is the start. This is my new start. Mm.
God, that's so beautiful. I want to circle back to the moment that you said that your soul felt like it was dying. What was the catalyst, or was there a defining moment? Because I imagine a lot of people have had those thoughts, leaving that gap almost of having that insight and then calling on that courage that is required to move into the uncertainty. What was that process like for you, or anything that wants to be shared about that particular moment or season? Because a lot of people have those thoughts and they do not take the action.
I was suffering so badly. I was up at night worrying to no end about how my life was going to pan out. And I know that I came into this life really knowing, like having this really deep knowing that my soul has a calling that needs to be expressed in this lifetime. And I was ignoring the call. And when we ignore the call, that's when we get sick. That's when disease pops up. That's when all of a sudden we're in pain, either physically, mentally, emotionally. And that's what was happening to me. I was denying the call. And it was showing up as thyroid disease. It was showing up as depression. It was showing up as, I just was getting sicker and sicker, mind, body, and soul. And like I said, that slow death will wake you up to take massive action. And I tell you, I really feel like God was carrying me through those days and months when I had to make the hardest decision of my life. And that is to sit with my ex-husband and say, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
So I really feel like I was being carried by a force that at the time I was connected to, but not like I am right now. I had the foundation as a young child and that connection to God. But I'm telling you, when you take the action and the intention of wanting a better life for yourself, God sweeps in and literally carries you through. And I have proof of that because I literally felt like he was carrying me through those moments of, you know, sitting with my husband saying, I'm leaving. He took me through the legal system for years and years after. My kids and holding their emotions of pain. God was there every step of the way for me.
When did you become aware of God's infinite intimacy, as vast as it is, as your experience in this life?
I feel like there was one moment. I feel like it was leading up to this powerful moment because I had been to Israel and I'd been to all the sacred religious places, and I've always been deep into spirituality and how much deeper can I get to have this connection to God. And so it was just leading me up to a point where I would say about 6 years ago, I got quiet. And I was at a labyrinth near my house.
Your beloved labyrinth.
My beloved labyrinth. And I was walking this, you know, in circles in the desert thinking, okay, this is crazy. And I was so desperate to hear the messages from God. I had, in all the noise and all the fear in my life, I had stopped my conversations with God. And that day I got to the center of the labyrinth. And it was like a lightning bolt through my whole body, in the most loving energy I could possibly have felt. And in that moment, I felt God in my whole entire body, and I trusted that I was being taken care of, not just by God, but a whole spirit team. When I got into that labyrinth, I literally could feel my spirit guides holding my hand. Literally holding my hand.
Wow.
And they would want to play, and they would want me to dance through the paths, and they would want me to giggle with them, and they would want me to trust them. And it was literally like a portal, Michelle, going into that labyrinth and knowing, oh my gosh, I haven't been trusting the unseen.
I hear that. God, that is really beautiful. Yeah, I have similar moments myself since we're getting to know each other on the pod at my altar about 2.5 years ago, more than that now. I felt the call to let go of my television entirely. So it's been sitting in my closet ever since. And then in its place over time, I created a beautiful sacred personal altar. And in the beginning, it was like I just passed by it, probably like a lot of people pass by the labyrinth, right? That you have such a beautiful, powerful connection. And it was just kind of there and set up prettily, but I didn't have any energetic connection with it. But then, of course, just like you, when you go first, universe, spirit team, God responds, always there, always holding us. And oftentimes we don't know it until we actually make a move, right? Or begin to listen or whatever that is. And so the more that I just started to show up, even just 5 minutes, then it was getting energetically like potent. And then it would beckon me out of bed in the middle of the night, just literally come out of the shower sometimes and just know I got to go sit and kneel and pray and purify, cleanse, forgive, listen, whatever it might be. And so now it's a really devout practice of mine. But that same thing, like it's showing me I've never been alone, never will be alone. I'm so supported, so guided. And there's nothing that I would trade for that experience. So I really understand what you're saying. Even this get quiet invitation that we're going to move into soon in this conversation. What do you think is going on with a lot of people who know this truth, know that if I would just get still enough to turn inward and listen, my life would be made. I'd open up the divine channel of intuition, all of that. What do you think is the resistance there for most? And I know you've got a lot of pathways in your book to alchemize that, but what is happening for us humans, Elaine?
It's so much easier to be distracted.
True.
It's so much easier to scroll on social media. It's so much easier to eat junk. It's so much easier to feel like you're in love with someone who's not right for you, but you love the passion. All this is so much easier and so much more fun until your life comes crashing down because of it all.
Yeah.
And literally, I was asleep at the wheel of my life and the car crash, metaphorically. And I had to wake up to the health of my body, the medicines I was taking that were actually harming me, the relationships I was in that were actually holding me back from my greatness. And so it was this awakening, this paying attention to finally my life. And when you go from asleep at the wheel to now paying attention, there's some work to do. There's some catch up. And that is the get quiet, is catching up to, the things you've been asleep to. And they're not difficult. There's not many of them. It's simple. But it's this simple starting to pay attention to the truth of your life.
Oh, yes. And I find that once I really dedicated myself to that path, just no turning back, no more illusion, no more lying to myself. And that wasn't always easy, of course. But then my life got so much easier because it was clean and clear, and my choices were embodied, and there was no second guess, way less second guessing. Of course, I'm human. I'm going to be snagged. And but I could see through self-illumination so many more areas of my life where I was like, oh, just this little shift right here, and you'll weave that thread in, and then that thread in, and there'll be more harmony in my relationships with self, with God, with others, with purpose. You talked about being in such purpose now, and I want to get there in a moment. But before, let's go back to how you met Michael, because that's the part of the story that I'm super excited to hear. And then I want to just drop into the goodness of Get Quiet, your brand new debut book.
Again, God was carrying me through meeting Michael. There are no accidents. And when we pay attention to the miracles of what is happening every day, oh my God, like it is so much fun. Life is so much fun.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, this is the main thing I want people to know is like when you pay attention to these miracles, like you get tickled every day. You're just living delight. It's just delightful.
Yes, yes.
So I was finally confident enough to take the leap out of my dental hygiene practice and into coaching because I had been doing that for 40,000 patients anyway. I just wanted to drop the instruments and help people in as a life coach. And so I became a life coach. I started my business and still a single mom, still, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. Got a website up, you know, started to speak a little bit about my purpose, started helping people, started taking people to the labyrinth, the same place that I healed from by. And so I was taking all those right actions, saying yes, being guided, trusting, even though it sounded crazy, still saying yes. I met Michael because I was at a point in my life coaching business that I wanted to expand. I wanted to scale. I wanted to learn how to be an entrepreneur. And so I took a lot of my savings and betted on myself to go to a retreat. It was for a week in Maui. And I sat with my oldest son and I said, at the time he was only maybe 13, I said, I'd never been away from my kids before. Now I was going to be gone for a week. And have my parents there to help and everything. And I said to him, I said, I want to really do this for myself. And I'm going to be gone for a week. And he goes, Mom, you deserve this.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my God. Okay, wise one. I will go. I tried to get out of this two times, but the leader of this retreat center and the program wouldn't let me. He wouldn't let me have my money back. But I wanted to get out of it two times because I was scared. Didn't know if I could afford it. What was that going to do? And anyway, I couldn't get out of it. So I ended up going. And that's where I met Michael.
Oh my gosh.
He was a speaker at this small 25 person, you know, build your business as a life coach. And there he was. And the first time he was on stage speaking, I said to myself, that is exactly the type of man that I want to call into my life. Yeah. And anyway, a lot of things happened that week. One.
No, I need to know when you first.
Okay.
Oh no, we live for these stories. Are you kidding? This is everything because it's a walking manifestation as a result of turning inward, doing the work, listening, honoring the calls, even though you were scared. I mean, let's just put the story together for a moment and trying to back out God clearly saying, nope, I'm going to make sure that there's not even a refund. So you, it's like almost had to go because there was such a bigger purpose. Oh, this is the magic and miracles that we're talking about. If we are willing to honor the call, that's it right there. So yes, please. The moment you met and your first connection.
Well, our first connection was he was with his then girlfriend.
Ah, uh-huh. Oh, she was there. Okay.
There was that. So I immediately knew that that wasn't going to be my person, but that at least I recognized it. At least I'd gotten to a, excuse me, a very healthy point in my life with an open heart. I'd done a lot of work to even open my heart back up again.
See, that's huge right there. Just that piece alone, keeping your heart open so that you could recognize a frequency that was different than known past, but that was almost like alluring you, calling you, resonating with you. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so that is one of the simple paths in Get Quiet is how to open your heart to be able to receive and recognize what is meant for you and what you deserve.
Yeah.
So I recognized Michael right away. I said, that is the type of man I want, that I deserve. Mm-hmm. Plus, I had been manifesting him to come into my life probably a month before. I had read a book about how to manifest, you know, your man. I forgot who it was with, but I was taking the actions.
Yeah, you were doing it.
I was doing the work. And so there he was, we met, and obviously I could tell, and he knew too at the time, he was not happy. Yeah. In his current relationship. But he was also like, you know, when we met, we just recognized each other right away. But mm-hmm. the story that you're going to really appreciate is after being on Maui in this retreat center for 7 days, I had rented a car. I was saying goodbye to all the participants. I said goodbye to Michael and all the other speakers. I got into my car and my car wouldn't start.
Mm. Oh, God is so good. I don't know what's good, but I know it's good.
So years prior, I would have been like, what the heck? Are you kidding me? Oh my God, I had this whole day planned before I was going to get to the airport. And instead, I was able to be in that state of, okay, God, what do you want from me now?
Mm-hmm.
I went back into the center, you know, told everyone my car was stalled, the tow truck finally came, but by this time my plane was going to leave a few hours after. I only had a window of time that I could have dinner really quick and then head to the airport. So
I'm getting the chills before you even tell the next part. This is just beautiful and very meaningful for me, and I'll share in a moment why.
I get to this restaurant. And I literally have maybe 50 minutes to eat. And it's a very popular restaurant on Maui. So I'm just like praying that they have some space for me. Yeah. And so they do, but they say, you know, it's going to be about 10-minute wait. I said, fine. I go out onto the beach to wait for my table.
Mm-hmm.
I put my toes in the ocean.
Mm.
I turn back and there is Michael. And his girlfriend.
Oh, there they are, though.
That I had just said goodbye to hours before. And of all places on the island, of all times.
That you were not supposed to be present for because you were going to be on your adventure with your rental car.
Yep.
And
he and she invited me to sit with them, and I had dinner with them. He said, after dinner, if you need anything, any help with your business, just reach out. And I did. And it started very slowly. It was months and months after that we finally knew that, you know, we had something.
Mm-hmm.
But had my car not stalled, you know, I would have never have been in that place, to even, you know, see him again. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And on the way to the restaurant, I saw a license plate that said 11th hour.
Oh my.
Yeah. So like something was going to happen in those 7 days at the 11th hour. And it did.
Oh, wow. So there's just so many beautiful pieces to this as I pick up on it. And it's how present you were to your life. You know, we were just talking 15 minutes ago about becoming, you know, interested and then dedicated, right? About what's happening in our lives, the signs, the symbols, the synchronicities, right? Keeping our hearts open, doing our deep inner work so that we hopefully don't dismiss or deny the signs, symbols, and synchronicities. So funny, sometimes I have some friends, especially, and I know I certainly related a few years back, but you know, I'm looking for a sign, universe. I'm looking for a sign. And then the universe is like, here's one, here's one. I need a signier sign, right? Right? Because we want to overthink it, get in the way, and have it attached to meanings that aren't even relevant and that are outdated. And so it's just such a beautiful illustration of being on the path of doing the deep inner work, being authentic, staying present to our lives, hearts open, not having any idea where any of it goes. And that's what I'm really hearing about this, because I imagine for you, when I'm able to listen, when I get quiet enough to listen, I don't know what's next. I just know what's now. And that has become more interesting to me than just about anything. Like this moment for me matters more than anything. And my whole day is full. And I imagine yours is as well. And so I'm just really inviting our listeners and viewers to get present to the magic and the miracles when we do, because life will never be mundane again.
Never, never. It is, we are living in the most magical experience that blows me away every day. Mm. When you get present and awakened to these moments, these signs that are just lovingly guiding you. And it's not complex.
Not.
It's not complex. Mm. And when I was able to get quiet enough to hear these subtle loving messages, mm. my whole entire life changed. So we're always thinking it's going to be the big, loud, you know, voice saying, do this, go here. No, you should be doing this. No, you should be doing this. It's never like that.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Our soul has this beautiful, beautiful, soft, like a mother's loving voice to a baby's. Like that's how beautifully loving and kind. And also my guides are super, super fun and playful. Like they know that I love humor. And so they meet me there. They meet me there. And I'll even be like, are you kidding? Are you crazy? Like you are literally telling me to do this. And they're like, yeah, like they are funny. They're funny. So they come to you in ways that you're gonna be able to listen.
Yes, that's so true. Mine have the energy. We are nature lovers for sure. And I'm very childlike. This is something that has begun to express more fully almost every day as my experience. I just can't help it. Childlike wonder and awe and like fairy energy, to be honest. And the more that I just decide to own that and be it and express it and not worry about how someone might respond, you know, at the airport or grocery store or dog park, the more that I realize, sure, yeah, I'm going to get some looks of almost like, what are you on? Or who do you think you are? And I've just come to know that that is just, it's a mandate on my soul at this point. Mm. And that is just how my spirit wants to express. And it's so real for me, you know, but people definitely like, what? Like any Zoom I join, you know, for the most part, but I'm also extremely serious and very earnest. And I know that about me. So that combo is important. Thank God my guides also love to play and be childlike. How did the book come to you? And what was that process like? Because I'm currently in the midst of putting my second book together. The first one was 20 years ago. Whew, and it's an undertaking, you know? And so I want to honor that process in you. First of all, receiving the call, honoring the call, taking the action, and then just the beautiful celebration in every aspect of it, coming to the place where it is now and being published by a big publishing house and all the things. So it seems so easy from anyone observing from the outside, but I know those processes and I'd love to hear anything that you feel called to share about the moment the book maybe came through or what that was like for you.
Yes. Yeah, so I believe that books are brought to us.
Mm-hmm.
When we are open enough and quiet enough to receive our soul's calling, then you will begin to receive great pieces of work mm-hmm. that only you are meant to bring into this world.
Mm.
And so I was open enough to say yes to God, to my guides, to the muse, you know, whatever it was that literally plucked me out of all the billions of people on the planet and said, this is your message and this is what you will be sharing and we will help you along the way.
Mm.
And as you know, I mean, I've probably placed three different proposals into, I only wanted one publisher. And if I didn't get with that one publisher, I was going to self-publish.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted Hay House because mm-hmm. Hay House, Louise Hay was a huge inspiration to me. And in dentistry, mm-hmm. I had her book in my room for 20 years, You Can Heal Your Life.
Oh, how perfect for all of your coaching sessions with your patients.
Yeah, I really was so passionate about helping people connect the mental, emotional to the physical.
Yeah.
And how thoughts become things and so on. So she had made such a huge, huge impact in my life. And all the books that have helped me and saved me from Hay House's publishing. So I was like, this is my publisher. If it's not, then there's nobody else. And so the book came to me because I decided to take the call seriously of getting quiet, understanding what that meant, understanding that there are seven simple paths to getting quiet, which in the end brings you to the center to connect to your soul, to connect to yourself. And what I was also shown by my guides was that there was a energy healing modality that was going to also be placed into this book. That didn't come until later, because I really had to get to the highest state of being, of connection, to bring down that element of the book. And that was the part where I really thought I was going wacko, because I'm like, I'm not a woo-woo person, but I felt like completely in the woo. I felt completely in the woo. And I was like, wait a minute.
I'm in the woo. What do I do?
What is happening? Like, but I started. So what happened was, and I was the whole time I'm thinking about the book and the paths and my whole healing, I'm thinking to myself, I can't trust this. What I'm hearing is crazy talk, and I cannot trust this. And about a week later, Michelle, I went grocery shopping. I was taking my groceries out of the back of my car, and my lift gate only opened halfway. I came barreling around the back of my car and hit my head. The force of like, I've never been hit before. I almost fell down. I thought I was gushing blood, but I wasn't. There was no harm, not even a bruise. But that night, I started channeling what I know now are my eight guides, to the point where I couldn't get the information fast enough. It was like I had to be hit over the head
to activate it.
Activate the energy. Because I wasn't listening and I wasn't trusting. So there was a period of literally about 12 weeks that I couldn't sleep. I mean, it was night and day. And then I realized, oh, you can actually talk to the guides and tell them, let me sleep tonight and let's catch up in the morning.
Hey, there's something called Earth time. I mean, I know that time doesn't exist, but we kind of do down here.
So then I had to, learn that relationship.
Yes.
And once I learned that relationship, we create just magic. And I brought in those eight energy points into the book. So getting back to like the book, I had now this final piece of the eight energy points that would shift, that one could scan their body using these eight energy points and heal themselves. So the first proposal I sent in to Hay House, I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to, do the best I can. And they said, no, it wasn't fleshed out enough. It wasn't, there was just a lot of missing pieces. Okay. A year later, I sent in a second proposal, thinking I had done more work, I had more details, this was getting even juicier and even better, but I left out the word God.
In the whole book?
In the whole proposal.
That was the right thing to do, or just didn't even, it wasn't even in your awareness?
No, it was purposeful, because I thought, because I had had a known a woman who had sent in a proposal to them, who was just talking about God and just like totally, like out there. And she got denied by them. So I thought, well, to make them like me, I'll betray myself.
Oh, thank you for your honesty. Yeah.
And they said no. A year later.
Wow.
After I had gotten all the pieces, all the moving parts, and I had finally felt my own deep connection to God.
Mm.
Like, you go first as an author. Like, you do the work first.
Yeah.
And the day I literally got found, like, I was lost in the desert 15 years prior, being a single mom, trying to figure out my life, to now being found. I'm literally in the center of the labyrinth that one day. And I knew, like, I felt like every cell in my body just connect to unity consciousness.
Yep.
All of humanity, all of everything. And I had sent my proposal in about 4 months prior to that, the third one. I get back to my house after that moment I had.
Yep.
That is the message of the book.
Mm-hmm.
And an hour later, I got an email from Hay House saying yes.
Just have chills all over again. What a story.
Oh, and what I forgot to tell you was when I got to the center of the labyrinth where I felt my power again, I looked down and I have a picture of this. Like, I would love to text it to you.
Please do.
I have a picture that another journeyman had left in the center of the labyrinth of a tiny little like baby doll outfit. So here I am feeling this power beyond measure. Going, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, at that point, I didn't care what was going to even happen with the book, because it was the point that I had gotten to my life in that moment. Like, nothing else mattered.
That is so beautiful. Yes.
I look down and there is a baby doll outfit of the Wonder Woman outfit.
Oh, wow.
Looking right back at me after I'm feeling my own power.
Yep. Full on. There's a mirror.
A mirror.
A mirror.
And this is what happens when you are in this flow, when you're in this connection with God and the universe and your guides and your angels. You can't make this stuff up. I had walked that labyrinth hundreds of times for 15 years. And in that moment, the moment I used my own prescriptive method that I was going to write in the book, and I found it to be true because I felt it. I felt this power again. I see this Wonder Woman outfit. And then an hour later, Hay House, like, I have it all documented. An hour later, Hay House says yes.
I imagine that story's in the book. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, so there's the embodiment piece, right? And also a validation from your guides, from God, from universe, and then of course from Hay House. But what's so beautiful, and I heard this so loud and clear, and it really resonates with where I am in my life with virtually every area, which is you didn't need any external validation. So the very thing that you were attached to and even sold yourself out a little bit, tried to anyway, but universe said no. I won't talk about God. We'll get quiet, but we're not communing with anyone or anything.
Nothing to see here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So true. But you know, it'll be good enough because this is the second attempt and I'm attached to Hay House, and authenticity is everything in 2024. You know, anything that is other than that will be known. You know, and this is what I'm really feeling into. And I just send all the love and compassion and empathy to those that, you know, are selling themselves out left and right. And we can see it, we can feel it. And just my heart goes out to people. But it's also so clear when it's truth and when it's real and when it's authentic. And so I love everything that you've just shared. I have to ask a segue question only because I walk a labyrinth on my favorite trail here off of Topanga Canyon in the LA area. And I love that land. And I have my home tree, like from Avatar, like home tree and I, we are like homies, like, oh, I can just receive and give and listen and hug and love on and climb her. And she's ancient and she's an angel for sure for me, for sure. And, but down the path, a much bigger, more
aesthetically beautiful tree, right? More impressive tree, gets all the attention from the hikers. There's a labyrinth. And I don't really know how really to walk the labyrinth. I just know that I do in silence. And I usually have a mantra. And my favorite mantra is something I learned from Ram Dass, who's my beloved teacher of I am loving awareness. And so I'll walk that slowly. I don't speak. And then I get to the center and I'll usually just offer gratitude. And maybe you're not supposed to talk about what you do in a labyrinth. I don't even know, but I've never actually asked anyone. And so I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what that process might be like for me and or anyone listening or watching that would love to know how to commune with their labyrinth or a labyrinth, if you're willing to share.
Yes. And as you have made it your own, I would invite other people to make it their own. Mm. There are a lot of, a labyrinth is an ancient 1,000-year-old contemplative path. It's one way in and one way out. It's not a maze. It's not there to confuse you, mm-hmm. but it does depict one's journey from the outside and journeying toward the center of themselves, the journey toward God. And I didn't know any of this when I first started walking, and I'm glad I didn't. Sort of like being naive was the best.
Yeah.
And so I would invite people to make it their own. I had many different people approach me because they knew I loved the labyrinth walking and said, let me teach you how we do it. And I was always resistant. I was like, no, I'm good. Like,
I see.
I didn't want to know how you do it. I always like to find innovative, different ways. It's not like I'm bucking the system. It's not like I didn't want to honor this 4,000 ancient old. I think I was truly honoring it to the highest level because I was making it my own. And so I would say to anyone who wants to go into this beautiful, I really feel like it's a magic portal because it's the way that we twist and turn and the way our energy and our body moves when we are in those exact pathways. Like they knew 4,000 years ago how to heal. They knew how to get to the center. And so I would just say, start walking it and see what comes up. And maybe something comes up in that moment you're walking that you hear your guides or a message. Maybe sometimes it'll be the next night in a dream. I mean, I've had messages come in all different ways at all different times. And I really do feel like when you surrender and you're not really thinking like, okay, I'm quiet now. What's the message? What's the message? Like, no, it's this complete surrender. And the very first message I heard the first day I walked the labyrinth was to surrender. And it was the greatest gift to have that message come to me the very, very first moment I walked. So make it your own, have fun with it, and know that you are really in a portal that the ancients and the wise, wise people knew that this would be the place to hear your soul's calling. And this would be the place where you would meet God and your guides to help you in your soul's mission in this lifetime.
No big deal. I fully hear you. And I'm deepening into that relationship with that labyrinth. I actually just walked it 2 days ago and I felt more connected, just like my altar, right? Many, many months went by and it was just kind of there and I didn't have a relationship with it yet, right? I hadn't devoted myself or opened myself. And this labyrinth I probably walked, I don't know, several dozen times, but just this last time I walked and it felt like there was a deeper connection. I was like, oh, okay, I'll be back on Sunday, right? And God, that's really beautiful. Thank you for sharing that because I love the idea of all of us finding our own pathway, our own portal, right? Because it all belongs. It's all one. It's this unity field, this unity consciousness, unity timeline that we're weaving into our conversation. And so allowing our expression to be ours, that's a part of the whole, right? And so it's so perfect in divine order.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Every time I went back to that labyrinth, well, first of all, it scared me. I'm not going to lie. Like I was hearing things like, I was like, okay, if I keep going back, there is going to be major change in my life, and I have to be ready to hear this. And I didn't go back after the first time when I heard surrender, I didn't go back for another month because I knew there was something that was about to happen. And you have to be ready. You have to be ready to say yes to your soul's calling. But I'm telling you, when we don't say yes, we suffer.
I was just going to ask you, can you speak to what happens and in what ways do we suffer? Just to call it out, right? Because sometimes the blind spots of those patterns are so dense that we can't even see that we are truly causing our own suffering from being unwilling to listen. So what are some of the ways that we can become more familiar with that suffering? The risk, well, the cost really is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, the cost is, again, just the slow death of the soul. And it's the, you know, it's what I saw with my patients, with all those patients, with all my coaching clients, that people say to me, when people come to me with a problem, I just, the first thing I ask them is, are you denying your soul's calling? Because I know it's going to cause them mentally, emotional stress. It's going to cause them issues in their relationships, and there's going to be issues in their tissues. There's going to be, it's really going to affect you mind, body, and soul. And so it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I would rather live with uncertainty and be able to create the strength of having faith and trust and not be in the fear of the unknown, but the fun of the unknown.
I love that. Thank you. Yes, because it becomes like this, I call it like a miracle treasure trove of like, what are we going to discover today, right? Like, and nowadays, I imagine you're here because you teach these and lead these beautiful women's transformative spiritual retreats and the way that you coach as a master life coach and this beautiful book. And I want to share a little bit more on that in a moment because there was a part about that I read on the outside cover, I believe, that just really moved me, or maybe it was on the website for it. But the more that I am aware of just how everything is always in divine order, then even the biggest obstacle, challenge that is presenting in my life, and something actually happened last night. It was a profound disappointment for an upcoming retreat that I'm leading in Ojai next month. And I'm not going to go into any details, but one of our team members, let's just say, who's a huge piece of this, probably won't be able to join us. And I don't know about getting a backup and plan B and all of that. And as I was going to sleep, I could sense that it wanted to do a past of just loop, right? And what this would mean, and do I need to, you know, tell the guests now and all these things. And I was like, relax, everything's going to work out. You know, it's just like, I didn't even get to loop for more than like 30 seconds. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's working. Because I caught it. I acknowledged it. I didn't try to suppress it, make it go away. I didn't panic. I didn't let it snag me, but I was aware that it wanted to. And it was on a mission, you know, and it was old. And so I could recognize that even that frequency of, ooh, this is how I used to run all the time. This is not mine anymore. I know. I trust. I'm going to surrender. And I'm getting the full chills as I say it, because this is possible for us. Now, there's going to be times when I stress, right? And I say, F this. And of course, but when we can catch it, oh, that's liberation.
Oh, well, that's everything.
Yes.
Because that's your beingness. That's your state of being. I mean, oh my gosh, think about the times when we suffer and we're not in that state of being. But the work that it takes to get to that place that you could just, after 30 seconds, regulate yourself is really true health. And it's really our natural state if we invite the tools and the right tools to help us live in that state.
Which is what your book, Get Quiet, will help all of us do. So in our last several minutes, a few minutes actually, I would like to read just a small part. And again, it might have been on the getquiet.com site, but I want to read it. So if you would indulge me for a moment. Okay.
Sure.
So this is for anyone wondering if this book is for you. If you've ever tried in vain to get in touch with the truth and wisdom that you know lives inside you, then Get Quiet can help. If finding and staying connected to your soul has been hard, even when life brings challenges, please pick up Get Quiet. If knowing God makes me emotional because I want everyone to know God. If knowing God and maintaining the beauty of that sacred relationship is meaningful, then Get Quiet can help. If managing overwhelm, anxiety, and depression are ongoing battles, Get Quiet can show you how to find your own relief. If you are always taking care of others before you take care of yourself, then Get Quiet has supportive words for you to put yourself first. If self-love has been a notion that others seem to have but has eluded you, a read through Get Quiet will give you a new access to a deep love for yourself. If your dreams have felt like heavy boulders that you couldn't move forward, Get Quiet can help you get them in motion. And if knowing and living your passion and purpose has been put aside for some future time, Get Quiet can help you to appreciate that that time is now. Elaine, that's how I feel about fire and soul. That's how I feel about it. This for me feels like the most important message I could ever hope my listeners and viewers would really be willing to receive. What was that like hearing that read back to you?
I think about my own life
mm-hmm.
and all the things that have happened for me to get to this place. I think about the people that I've helped, the people mm-hmm. that I want to continue to help.
Mm-hmm.
And by helping others, they will get empowered to then hopefully help others too. And I want this to be a ripple effect. I want this to be unifying humanity. Mm. I really do believe that getting quiet brings us back to human kindness and unifying humanity. Mm. And that is my soul's mission.
So beautiful. You wrote a quote here and I have to read it before I let you go, but I do have one final question too. 1.2. Say, quiet isn't really quiet at all. It's the sound of your heart and soul, the sound of your inner knowing, the sound of the divine, and so much more. And I so resonate. So thank you for bringing your magic and medicine to the world and honoring me by taking this time to sit with me and share your gifts. It's just such a true pleasure. Is there anything that wants to be shared by you or that you wished you had been asked?
I want to share that you are never alone.
Mm.
You are never alone. What you want wants you too. Mm. Don't be scared.
Mm.
This is why we're here, living this one precious life. Don't be scared. Trust, have faith that you are supported and loved through expressing and having the soul's mission come to this planet to help the world.
Mm.
You are not alone. Trust that.
What a beautiful message. And gorgeous place to end, but not before. Where is the best place for our listeners and viewers to find out more about you and or your beautiful gift of a book, Get Quiet?
Yes, they can go to getquiet.com
mm-hmm.
or elaineglass.net.
Okay, we'll link that in the show notes. So your book came out yesterday. Congratulations. Well, of course, we're recording this a little in advance of that. I've pre-ordered the book. I cannot wait to receive and devour and share the nuggets as I glean them in social media. And so I'm going to encourage everyone to hit the link in the show notes to pick up your book as well. And there's some extra gifts if you do it in that way. And there's all kinds of places where you can pick it up, Amazon and your favorite retailers online. So thank you, Elaine, from the bottom of my heart. And thank you, Michael, for making this connection happen. I feel like your guides and my guides have been working on this for a while. And I'm looking forward to receiving also the super, super Wonder Woman photo.
You got it.
Much love and gratitude to you, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Michelle. This was just absolutely a joy and an honor. And I've just loved our time together. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Fire and Soul. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite pod player. And if you'd like to connect on social, you can find me anywhere at Michelle Soro. Or if you'd like to reach out to me directly, you can at fireandsoulpodcast.com. Thanks for listening.